There are truths we believe we can only whisper to God, and truths we feel we have to hide from the church. Welcome to Coaching Hope for You. I'm Kim Hansen-Petroni, founder of Coaching Hope for You and Not a Casserole Widow. In this podcast, I share short reflections and coaching insights drawn from my writing about healing after betrayal, divorce, and rebuilding life after relational trauma. Today, I want to talk about something that happens quietly inside our faith communities. It's the space between what is true and what feels safe to say. Fabulous fibs or raw reality? Fellow faith community, the betrayed often feel forced to choose fabulous fibs instead of raw reality when they are in your presence. Here's what that sounds like. So, present-day conversations among the faithful. How are you today? I'm fine. God is good. Meanwhile, her relationship just got rocked as her husband admitted to looking at pornography again. You look tired. Is everything okay? Oh, kids are getting older and things are getting hectic in our home. Actually, she was up all night looking at her husband's bank account, trying to figure out why there were so many cash withdrawals. I didn't see you at Bible study. When will you be coming back? I'm not sure. Things are pretty busy right now. The truth? She cannot stand being in public because she doesn't know who her partner has been with. And yet, if we look at what God actually invites, God's preferred conversations are raw reality. How are you today? My life feels unbearable right now. My husband's looking at pornography again. He won't get help. I feel completely alone. You look tired today. Is everything okay? No, nothing is okay. We're struggling financially, and I don't believe what I'm being told about where the money's going. I feel like I'm going crazy. I didn't see you at Bible study. When will you be coming back? Not for a while. My husband told me he's having an affair, and I don't feel safe anywhere right now. If the betrayed tell their truth, their raw reality, they risk judgment, they risk alienation, and they risk being misunderstood. So instead, they protect you. They protect the faith community. They protect the room. We send missionaries across the world into physical discomfort, yet we struggle to sit next to a woman whose life has been shattered by sexual betrayal because it's emotionally uncomfortable. It feels better to serve a starving orphan in a faraway country than to sit with the devastating impact of intimate betrayal sitting right next to us. And yet, Scripture tells us if you abide in the truth will set you free. Except when it comes to betrayal trauma, because that truth often gets you isolated. Fabulous fibs feel more spiritually satisfying than the raw reality that Satan is prowling in your pews. Can you imagine the internal conflict these betrayed partners must experience? Wanting to seek Christ, but knowing his people may not be safe. Wanting to be honest, but knowing honesty might cost you belonging. So where do these women go? They go to bathroom floors. They go to closets. They go to their cars. They cry out to God in private because it feels safer than crying out in church. How can we understand their pain? Well, maybe it helps to see them as a widow grieving a life that no longer exists, a surgical patient recovering from emotional open-heart surgery, or a trauma survivor trying to make sense of what feels like a violation of safety. Michelle Mays describes betrayal trauma like this. When infidelity occurs, betrayed partners enter a state of prolonged emotional threat and danger. The initial discovery of betrayal is enough to cause the body to immediately ramp up its threat response system. Unfortunately, partners are often dealing with not just that first discovery, but an ongoing series of discoveries that activate the threat system repeatedly, causing it to fire up and prepare to fight, flee, or shut down over and over. Many betrayed partners report feeling that just as they start to calm down and gain some equilibrium, another discovery occurs, and once again, their system rockets into chaos. Their nervous system is not overreacting. It's responding exactly as it was designed to do. This is betrayal trauma. It is real, it is relentless, and it is often invisible. These partners are not asking for perfect support. They're just asking to be seen, for their raw reality to be believed and to be met with compassion instead of discomfort. If you can, lean in. If you can, sit with their truth. And if you cannot, have the humble courage to guide them to someone who can. Betrayal trauma doesn't just disrupt a relationship. It disrupts a woman's sense of safety in the world, and often her sense of safety in community. When truth doesn't feel welcome, silence becomes the safer choice. But healing doesn't happen in polished answers. It happens in honest spaces. And sometimes the most compassionate thing we can do is not fix, not explain, not spiritualize, but simply be willing to hear what is real. I found this quote from Adrian Rogers, and I think it clearly summarizes how fabulous fibs and raw reality should be addressed. It is better to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It is better to speak the truth that hurts and then heals than falsehood that comforts and then kills. Thank you for listening to Coaching Hope for You. If this reflection resonated with you, you can find more writing and resources at coachinghopeforyou.com and through Not a Casserole Widow. Until next time, be kind to yourself. You're rebuilding something sacred.